fountain filled with blood. And the song says that will be our theme until we die, and it will be the theme after we die in heaven unto Him that washed us from our sins in His own blood. Ours is a bloody religion to most people. I thought about Rahab the harlot. Remember Rahab the harlot? She hung that, the prophets told her to hang that scarlet line out her window. And so she did. And town people may have thought that was just decor or something. But that was her life. Every day, as long as she lived, that scarlet line was hanging out her window. No, it wasn't a show. It wasn't decor. It represents the blood. So we always mention the blood. Don't we? We always talk about the blood. John 5. Read with me, beginning with verse 16. Let's read a few verses here. The Jews persecuted Jesus, sought to slay him. He healed this man on the Sabbath. He'd done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things, greater works than these, that you may marvel." Our Lord said everything he did in these verses in response to the Jews, who said in verse 18, "You make yourself equal with God." Now, he did not tell them, "God is my Father." He didn't say that, did he? He just said, "My Father." But they knew what he was saying. And people today know what he's saying to. There's a certain denomination that says he never said he was God. Oh, no. They read it too. They see it. They know exactly what he's saying. I just don't like it. Like that time they said to him, "If you be the Christ, tell us plainly." He said, "I told you. I told you. And you believe not, because you're not my sheep." But they said, "You're," in another place, John 10, they said to him, "You're just a man, and you make yourself to be God." The fact is, he is God. That's a fact. He is equal with God. To be equal with God, what does that mean? That you're God. Philippians 2 says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. He made himself a body of a man. God. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 3. And this, every one of us need to remember this verse. Every one of us need to remember where it is and what it says by memory. 1 Timothy 3:16. The world knows John 3:16. They think they know John 3:16. That the only verse that anybody can quote is John 3:16. I want you to know 1 Timothy 3:16. So you can answer them that ask you a reason for the hope that is in you. Our only hope is that man who walked this planet is God. You understand? This is not doctrine here. This is our God, Isaiah wrote. He'll save us. No one else can. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy. You have it? I want you to know where this is. When I call upon you Wednesday, you will quote it. Seriously. This is what we believe. If Jesus Christ is not God, He's the greatest imposter who ever lived. If He's not God, He can't help us. Without controversy. It's controversy with man. But where the truth is concerned, concerning God, there is no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Is that what it says? I wonder what these Bibles, Jehovah's Witnesses and all of them, what do they say? I haven't read it. What kind of Bible they have? I don't know. But how? What does that say, sister? God was manifest in the flesh. What's that mean? The smallest child in here understands what that means. It means God became a man. Right? Isaiah quoted it in Isaiah 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name God with us. Right? A child is born, a son is given, call his name Wonderful Counselor. What? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. But Jesus can't be the Son of both the Father. Yes, He can. And He is. I don't understand. I don't either, but I believe it. This whole book, this whole Bible declares, and I just quoted a couple of things from Isaiah. This whole Bible declares that God came to earth to save His people. No book declares it more clearly than John's Gospel. You know that? No book declares it more clearly than John's Gospel. The Bible begins, in the beginning, God. Well, how does John begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's Christ. The Word was made flesh. How clear can God be? That man who walked this earth was the God who made this earth. It says He came to His own. The Creator came to His creature, and they didn't know Him. They didn't receive Him. Didn't believe Him. And this whole world rejects its Creator, don't they? Fools. The Gospel of John declares Christ being God more than any other. But God hides Himself. You remember Isaiah 45, "Thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel." His identity was hidden. Go back to John 5. His identity was hidden from the wise and prudent, but He revealed Himself unto babes. He revealed Himself to whom He would. And if you know and believe Him to be God, you're so blessed. The Son of God has come and given us an understanding of what might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. This is the eternal God and eternal life. He revealed Himself. And in Matthew 11, He said to His disciples, and most of the things He revealed about Himself were to His disciples in private. He showed them, remember He took them up on the mountain, three of them, He chose them, to show them who He really is, God who dwelleth in light that no man could approach unto. He peeled back that robe of flesh to reveal who He is. And they all hit the ground. John fell at His feet as a dead man. Our Lord said to John, "I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end." Our Lord said to John. And let me read that to you. The other day, I had a conversation with a lady. She told me she was a Jehovah's Witness. And turn to Revelation 1. I want you to see that. Revelation 1, so you have this to quote. Okay? Revelation 1. Turn there. This woman told me, "I'm a Jehovah Witness and I want to talk to you." I said, "Hold on." I said, "I am diametrically opposed to everything you believe. I believe exactly contrary to what you believe." I said, "I believe, and I'm sure, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and you don't." I said, "We don't have anything to talk about." You know, she said, "You're right." And that was it. I believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Do you? Look at this. Here's his very words out of his mouth. Verse 8. John 1:8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty God. That's who Jesus Christ is. Go back to our text. I almost devoted a whole message to verse 17 on Christ our Sabbath. The Jews, they worshiped a day like the Seventh-day Adventists do today. They thought they kept the Sabbath day. And they were just incensed against him, angry at him for thinking that he broke the Sabbath. No, he didn't break the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. They just didn't know what the Sabbath represented. It represents the day. You don't worship a day. You don't keep a day. A day, keeping a day won't do you any good whatsoever. Believing Christ will save you only. But Christ is our Sabbath. He's the one who finished the work like God finished the work of creation and rested. Did God quit working? When God created the heavens and the earth and man, he said, "It's very good." And God rested. And they said, "The seventh day, this is where you're all going to rest. No works on this day." Okay? Did God quit working? If he did, everything just died. God worketh all things at the counsel of his own. He never quit working. It's God that doeth all things according to his own will. Okay? But when he rested from creation, that means nothing else is going to be created. Nothing's going to change. It's all exactly like I made it. It's going to be that way till it ends. No additions, no subtraction. Creation. Well, in salvation, you see, Christ is both the creator. He created all things. He was there. He created all things. Didn't he? That makes him God. Well, when Christ came to do the work of salvation, the last thing he said on the cross was, "It is finished." He finished the work of salvation. There is no work for any human. It's not a cooperative effort on God and us working this out. No. It's Christ did the work. And he said, "It's finished." And God was pleased with what he did. Complete. You're complete. Nothing else to do. It's complete. Regeneration. Complete. And so we rest. There, that's my message on that. We look to him. We trust him. You know, not by works of righteousness or free to others. It's his work. He finished the work. We rest in him. Christ is our Sabbath. Okay, so that's why he said that to them. And the Jews hated him for that. They hated him. All right, now look at this. Verse 18. Now they sought to kill him because they thought he broke the Sabbath. But it said that he made himself equal with God. And our Lord said, "What the Son seeth the Father do, that's what I do." Read this with me. In the first person, as Christ, read this way, okay? "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I can do nothing of myself but what I see my Father do. What things he doeth, those also I do. The Father loveth me and showeth all things to me, and he'll show me greater things than thee." Verse 21, "The Father raises up," God raises up the dead and quickeneth them, "even so I quicken whom I will." Keep reading. "God judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to me." Keep reading on. "All men should honor me like they honor God." Now that brings it into perspective. "He that honoreth not me honoreth not God." That's pretty clear, isn't it?
What he's saying. He that heareth my word believeth on God that sent me and hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, is passed from death.
What he said was, the Son does everything that the Father does. I do what God does. What I do is what God did. And I'm God. All right? He did things only God could do. He created. Didn't he? He literally created the heavens and the earth. And when he came here, as a man, he turned water into wine. You can't do that. He did. Nobody can do that. He did. How? A word. He just spoke. Let there be wine. 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 5,000 people. How's everybody going to eat with just that? Christ said, be filled. Filled up those barrels and fed all those people. With a word. He created. As a man, he created. He controls creation. He does only what God can do. He controls creation. When he came here to this earth, though a man, the animals, the elements, devils, everything, he controlled them. The animals, a dove landed on his shoulder. God told him, he told him to. Come here, dove. Land on my shoulder. Try that. The wild beast, he was with the wild beast when he was tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beast. I'm absolutely certain they all lay at his feet. Perfect harmony, like all the animals on the ark did with Noah. He changed wild beasts into tame creatures at the feet of their creator. A wild ass's coat came to nobody had ever ridden him, and nobody could ride him. And he came to Christ. He just came to Christ, like you call a dog. Come here. And he lowered his head. Christ got on him, and that wild ass's coat just kind of low, meek, and lowly, just walked into town. Fish. So get in the net. Fish. The elements, the wind. Huge storm arose at sea that he raised. He raised the storm. He was on land, his disciples in a ship, and he said, let there be a storm. And it did. And they were in the ship, and he watched them. It was all on purpose. He's going to reveal himself. For them. Nobody else. For them. All right? And they thought they were all going to drown. The winds and the waves and everything against them. Going to bring them down. And our Lord came walking on the ocean. Walking on the sea. Plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. That's God. Man can't walk on water. God can, and he did. He walked on the water, and he came, got in that boat, and the winds and the waves ceased. Another time he did the same thing. He walked out on the bow of the ship after resting, and he said, be still. And the wind quit blowing, and the ocean lay at his feet. Ocean lay at his feet. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? He's not just a man. This is God. They knew. No man. He's equal. He is God. Devils. Devils said, we know who you are. Have you come to torment us? He said, get in those pigs. Get. They ran violently down the hill. He's God. He controls the creation that he created. He's God. He's judge and justifier. He's the judge. Look at verse 27. He hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. Verse 22. The Father judges no man. God judges no man, and committed all judgment unto God the Son. He's the judge. He's the one that judges. He said in another place, I have the keys of hell and death at my side. He's the justifier. There were two men that walked in the temple. We're told not to judge. We're not men's judge. We don't decide the fate of anyone. We can't do it. We're told not to even try. He's the judge. God's the judge, right? Well, Jesus Christ said, I judge. Two men walked in the temple. One seemed moral and upright, and, you know, everybody was impressed with this religious man, a Pharisee. Another man came in. He's guilty. Everybody knew it. Everybody in town hated him and knew he was guilty, a guilty sinner. Here you got a guilty sinner. Here you got a moral and upright man who seems to keep the law. And Jesus Christ said, this man is justified. This one is condemned. He said to the publican, completely, totally justified, clear, wholly unblameable, unrighteous in my sight, cleared of all charges. Who shall lay anything the charge of God's elect? Who justified? Who is it that justifies? He said, I tell you, this man went home justified. Why? I say so. I like that. Some people don't like that. You can't do that, the Pharisee said. I just did. I love it. With a word, justified. Condemned. Woman caught in the act of adultery. Everybody knew she was guilty. Caught in the very act. And they brought her to the feet of the judge. God. They brought her to the feet of God Almighty. And cast her at His feet. And they said, the law saith she's to be stoned. What do you say? He said, completely cleared of all charges. Her sins are completely and totally said, I don't condemn her of one thing. Who shall lay anything to charge of God today? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemned? Christ died. God died. Purchased the church with his own blood. Who can forgive sins but God? That's what they said to him. He forgave a man sick of the palsy. There was a man that he had them bring to him. He couldn't come. He had them bring this lame man to his feet. And the first thing he said to this man who was sick of the palsy, the first thing he said was, Son, He may have been old. Christ is 30 years old. This man may have been 50, 60. Who knows how old he was? Son? Well, who's talking to him? His father. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, who can forgive sins but God? That's right. That's right. He's the only one that can forgive sins. The only one that can forgive sins. The only man who ever lived who can forgive sins. There's lots of imposter. There's lots of pretenders. Like that Pope. Papa, that means father. He ain't my father. Oh, my. Don't you wish the Lord would reveal himself to some of your Catholic family and neighbors and all that. I wrote this down. Years ago, I was in the home of a lady who was a Catholic. And she had on her wall, and I wrote it down because it was so awful. She had, of course, a crucifix there. Poor, helpless Jesus hanging there, you know. I think she had another picture of him in Mary's arms. Mary's holding up poor Jesus. Anyway, I told her, that's an idol. I said, oh, I said, don't, that's a graven image, that crucifix. I said, oh, no, I don't worship that. I said, we'll throw it in a trash can. Let's see you throw it in the trash can, right now. Oh, I can't do that. But she had a plaque on the wall sent to her by Pope John Paul, Pope John Paul. And this is what it said. The Holy Father, John Paul, paternally, that's as your father, imparts his apostolic blessing to, and had her name, and on the occasion of her birthday, I'm sure she paid money to get this plaque in it, as a pledge of heavenly favors. Now, I'm your father, and I pledge you heavenly favors. I have that right. There's only one who can impart heavenly favors. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one who can forgive sins. Jesus Christ. He's called the great high priest, whom the Father hears, only him and him alone. And everyone, here's the good thing, the wonderful thing, the merciful thing, is everyone who comes in his name, who calls upon him in Jesus Christ's name, is frankly, freely, fully, forever forgiven of all sins. All manner of sin. Forgiven. Wiped out. Paid for. Clean. In God's sight. How? Because God said so. Because Christ forgives sin. Because Christ died. It's God. He's the only one. He's like God. He's the only one that can change a man's heart. He's the only one that can give a man a new heart, a new mind. I go Simon Peter. I love the story of Simon Peter, don't you? You know, for a minute, the Lord let him revert back to what he was, an old cussing, probably drunk all the time sailor. That's what they did. You know, that's what sailors do. And that's how the Lord found him. That's how the Lord found, that's who the Lord came to save, was that old drunken sailor, Simon Peter. He found him by trusting him. Our Lord came along one day, walking on the sea, purposely, he's looking for that man and his brother, and on down the road, two others, just like him. And the Lord, with a word, Kelly, with a word. He didn't ask him. He didn't beg him. He didn't make a proposition to him. He didn't invite him. He said, "Follow me," and walked off. And Simon Peter dropped everything. Dropped his boat, dropped his nets. James and John dropped their father, their family. Got out of those boats. Another time, Simon Peter couldn't get out of the boat fast enough. Swimming like a dog to his master. The Lord changed that man right there. "You're mine," he said. "You belong to me. I came for you. Follow me." He walked off. And he did. And followed him the rest of his life. Who can do that but God? Modern religion, there's Jesus standing outside hoping you'll just open the door. Not mine. He breaks the door down. He is the door. With a word, sister. With a word. Is that what he did to you? With a word. He said, "You believe, don't you?" "I do. You're mine. I came for what belongs to me. And you're coming with me. Aren't you glad?"
"Yes.
I'm so glad. And you're not getting away. You'll never pay. I'll never let you may wander off. I'll come back and get you again." Why? "Because you belong to me." He said, "All souls are mine." Now who can say that but God? You know, he reveals himself to his people. I was going to have you turn to John 14. You know that. Yes, turn there. John 14. It's just a few pages. Look at this. Now, he's talking to his disciple. After Judas Iscariot left, that imposter, that fake, that phony, didn't know Christ. After he left, then the Lord said, "Now, I'm going to talk to you, my family." Didn't it, John? That's when he said all these things to his people. None of that this applies to anyone but his people, his chosen, isn't it? All right, look at chapter 14. He said unto them, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Who can say that? but God. In John 5, it says, the Father hath life in himself, the Son hath life in himself. In other words, I give life. Who could say that but God? I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him. Who? The Father. God. You've seen him. God? Yes, they were looking at God. But, and this is what they argue, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. It says no man hath seen God at any time. No man can see or hath seen God at any time. Well, hold on now. Job said that I shall see God with my eye. Christ just said, you've seen me, you've seen God. Look at it. He's talking to his people. Philip saith unto the Lord, well, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Don't you believe? Verse 10. Now, this is a marvelous verse. I am in the Father, Father's in me. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. But Christ never left the bosom of the Father. How can that? I don't understand. I don't either, but I believe. I believe that man is God. If he's not, we're idolaters. He let people worship him. The scripture says, worship him alone shall you worship. All right? The Father said, worship. Read on. Verse 10. Verse 11. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. I believe the very works say. The only one that can do what God did is God. Go back to our text in John 5. Let me wrap this up. It says, we quoted, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Ancient of Days became an infant. The Father became a son. I don't understand, but it's so. You know, I am, some of you knew my father, Henry Mayhem. I'm just as much a man as he is, right? I'm a man. And you know, the older I get, the more I become like him. Some of you said, you turn on the radio and you say, you sound just like him. Well, that's fitting, isn't it? Christ said, the words I speak, it's not me, it's the Father. We're one. We're the same. We're equal. You have God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three, they're one. They're one. They're equal. They're to be worshipped the same. Because they are. They're all God. Very God of very God. Look at verse 21. He said, the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, God said this. See now, that I, even I, am he. This is God speaking. This is Jehovah speaking. He said, I kill and I make alive. Didn't God. Well, Jesus Christ just said, I make alive. Didn't it? I make alive. This is God. One time he raised a widow's son. I love that every funeral he attended, the person lived. Every casket he came by, because he's life. You can't be dead in the presence of life. The widow's son, rise up. Who can raise the dead but God? Who can give life but God? He's God. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, he said that in verse 24. He that heareth my word, verse 25. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He did that to Lazarus a few chapters later. And he did it 2,000 years later, did it to me. And some of you did it.
live.
I came by, you were dead in trespass sin. Is it thy time was a time of love? And he said, live. And here you are. He's got all judgment. And look at verse 23. This is a command. Christ said, all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. I believe Brother Crabtree has this on his bulletin. All should honor the Son as they honor the Father. All should worship the Son as they worship the Father. All should worship Jesus Christ the way they worship God. If you don't believe and worship Jesus Christ as God, you don't know God. That's what he said. And he said in verse 24, verily, verily. And one of these days we'll just look at all the verily, verily. Verse 25, verily, verily. You know what that word is? Amen. It's the exact same word as amen. He said, amen, amen. This amen means it's so. It's true. It's truth. Amen, amen. And our Lord said the amen before he said anything else. What I'm telling you is absolute truth. It's true. Let the amen sound from his people again. He's called the amen in the Revelation. But listen to this. David often wrote in the song, amen and amen. Only in John's gospel he say, verily, verily. Amen, amen. David often wrote, amen and amen. Listen to Psalm 72. Psalm, his name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Who? Jesus Christ. And he ends by saying, amen and amen. Verily, verily. I say unto you. Every time he said, verily, verily, he said, I say unto you. The words that he speaks are the words of God. And he said, in verse 28, marvel, in verse 27, he's given him judgment to execute judgment also. He's the Son of Man because he became a man and lived as a man and touched with the feet of our infirmities. And as a man, he became sin. As a man, he fulfilled all righteousness for us. So as a man, that's why he said that, Son of Man. But he said, those that hear his voice and believe on him shall live. What a promise that is. What a promise. He said, the day is coming, the hour is coming when all the graves are going to be opened up. Those that hear his voice. He said this in the next chapter. He said, this is the will of the Father. Of all that he gave me, I should lose nothing, but raise him up. I'm going to raise him up. He's coming for his own. God is coming for his own. Raise him out of the grave. Just like he quickened them by the gospel the first time, he's coming back to this earth and he's going to call all of his own that he died for out of the grave. Come, be with me forever. And he goes on to say in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And he goes on to talk about how that John bore witness of him, how that the prophets bore witness of him, and God the Father bore witness of him. This is my Son. Hear him. Is it necessary you believe that Jesus Christ is God to be saved? It's not a doctrine to believe. It's not a fact to believe. He's God. And when God makes himself known to you, you can't help it. You do that. You know him. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Who's that? Jesus Christ. The only God we'll ever see, the only God we'll ever look upon is Jesus Christ. And yet,
Do you understand? Can you explain that?
So, he's God, and we must call him such, and must believe on him. All right, John, you come lead us in closing.